Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics.
Hi, I'm Amanda.
And I'm Sabine. Welcome to the 52nd episode of Robots. Amanda, who recently joined the podcast, and I just came back from Alaska, where we were at the robotics conference ICRA. While over there, we saw some amazing talks on crazy modular robots, nanorobots, and lots of discussion on the future of robotics.
In today's show, we'll be speaking with the humanoid robot Now, used in RoboCup, and two representatives from Aldebaran, the company that produces it. Luc Degondency will be telling us about the technical aspects of the robot, while Cédric Vaudel tells us about the business of making humanoids.
But first, as usual, let's hear the latest news in robotics from Christine.
Thanks, Sabine. A group of researchers from four American universities have created a 4-nanometer robot that can follow a path laid out with DNA. The body of the robot is made out of a common protein called streptavidin. Each of the robot's four legs is a short biotin-labeled strand of DNA. Once released using a DNA trigger strand, the robot follows a predetermined DNA track by binding to and then cutting the DNA strands extending off the molecular track. Commands for the robot, such as start, walk, turn left, turn right, or stop, are contained in the DNA track itself. Ultimately, the researchers imagine developing molecular-scale reconfigurable robots for medical applications, such as repairing damaged tissues. In a significant step towards creating a new sensor for robotics, UK researchers from the University of Strathclyde in Leeds have recreated the basic hardware for artificial echolocation. In a first step, the team mounted miniature wireless microphone sensors on 6 Egyptian fruit bats. This allowed them to record the bat's double-click echolocation calls and its returning echoes during the bat's flight. The team then went on to create an ultrasonic loudspeaker and electronics that accurately reproduce the bat's clicks. Their system recreates the bat's natural acoustic gain control, which allows bats to emit high-intensity calls while still hearing the weak echoes returning from surrounding objects. The researchers are now planning to apply their methods to the positioning of robotic vehicles. A robot arm by industrial robotics giant ABB has performed an industrial symphony for the opening ceremony of Hannover's Messe 2010 in Germany. The robot arm's percussionist performance was accompanied by a human cellist, who complimented its robotic partner as a congenial partner who dominated his instruments with some virtuosity. For more information, including videos of ABB's robot drummer, as well as details on the echolocation device and the 4-nanometer robots, visit the robots forum at www.robotspodcast.com/forum.
Thanks, Christine. Our first guest is actually the Now robots. This is the first time we interview a robot, so to make it a bit easier, we started out by asking him to present himself. A little later in the episode, we'll be asking Now to tell us a Star Wars story. Okay, Now, can you present yourself to our listeners?
Hello, my name is Now. I'm a humanoid robot, imagined and manufactured in France. I come with a software and I'm fully programmable. I'm autonomous and can connect to the internet. Wi-Fi. I can recognize your face, answer your questions, play music, grab objects, and even play soccer like a pro. I've more than 400 brothers in use, all around the world, in universities and labs.
Our next guest, Luc Degondency, is VP Engineer at Aldebaran, the French-based company making the Now humanoid. Aldebaran has been growing fast, with 80 employees working towards making humanoid robots for research, education, and the Robot Cup soccer competitions.
Hi, Luc. Welcome to Robots.
Hello, Sabine.
Can you please present yourself to our listeners?
So I'm Luc Degaudenzi. I'm in charge of the R&D of Aldebaran. So it means basically around 40 people, okay, mostly in software, but something like a third of them are working on mechatronics, so mechanical development of the mechanical parts and the metallic parts of the robot. And three are working in electronics, and the rest is software, because the software is the bulk of the development of the robot, in fact.
And what do you make at Aldebaran?
So we do basically Now, which is a small robot, 60 centimeters high, 4.5 kilos, that we sell for the time being to universities to do basically applied research and as well education. And we have another project that is financed by the French government, basically, at the time being, where we have partnership with universities, mainly in France, but as well some in Europe, to develop a larger robot to be basically a service robot for elderly people or handicapped people that want to stay at home. The robot will be 1.3 meter high, will weigh 35 to 40 kilos, and basically it will be our platform for a future generation of service robot.
And can you explain the Now first to us? So what does it look like? What are its sensors? What are its actuators?
So Now looks like basically a child, okay, 60 centimeter high. It has 25 electrical motors that make him move more or less like a human, a bit less precise and not so nice, but almost like a human. We wanted to have a robot that would look like a human being, but you would spot at once that it's not, of course, a human being. It's still a robot, okay? So we have cameras to see, we have microphones to hear, we have sonar sensors in the torso to detect obstacle and avoid collision when we move. We have an inertial sensor to know in which position the robot is, and in particular, for instance, detect if we have fall down on the ground, and so stand up later. We are connected to a PC or to internet through Wi-Fi. We are porting as well Bluetooth on the robot. We have, so of course, position sensors in all the joints of the robot so that we can servo the joints in the position we want and make sure that we know in which position the robot is. For instance, for the walk, which is very complicated on a humanoid robot, is something you know you need really.
And what can you do with this robot so far?
So today we are developing application on it. The idea for Now I'm talking about is to make it like, I would say a cyber pet or a domestic companion for you to help you in simple tasks of the day, and in particular for children. This is something we want to develop for, I would say, individuals who would be interested in robotics. But it's not for today. We still have a lot of software to develop for that. So today it's much more a platform, a development platform, because we offer a lot of features that are required to make applied research. So for instance, like image processing, speech recognition, localization, navigation in a flat, this kind of features we offer on the robot right now. And the universities buy the robot to build on that and apply their own research. So for instance, so walking and navigating in the flat, like for instance, being able to seize an object, okay? This kind of, or to interact with a human, so human-machine interaction is a field where Now is very, very used, much used. And basically, as a platform, we interest a lot of universities so that they can have an affordable platform, reliable, they don't have to spend time and money to develop themselves. And on top of that, what we are trying to set up this year is to foster the collaboration between the universities that have bought Now, so that they can share their experience, and more than that, possibly that they can share their software or part of their software. And something we want to do as well is to prepare, let's say, a specific education community where the people could prepare hands-on work that they can share between different universities among themselves, because one of the problems is that if you want to develop a set of hands-on for the whole year, it's a lot of work. So if they can share, it will be much quicker. It's very interesting for them, and it's very interesting for us as well to develop the market, of course.
And now a researcher who would receive the Now, what type of software tools does it already have available to start coding this robot?
Two things. We offer with the robot a complete software development kit that allows you to program the robot from C++, which is very technical. You need really to know programming robots. But we offer as well the possibility to program the robot with Python, which is a script language, very easy. And we have as well Choreograph, that is a graphical user interface that will allow you to program the robot very easily. The other thing we do is that thanks to the software development kit we propose, many customers, for instance, who have bought AIBO at the time and have developed software for AIBO, can port their software onto Nao and go on their research without having to redo from the beginning. And this we try to help as well.
That's okay. Really interesting, because I worked with the AIBOs on RoboCup at the time when it was still the AIBOs, and I'm wondering, now it's the Now, basically. Yeah. What do you think this brings to RoboCup, the fact that it's a humanoid rather than the AIBO platform?
Well, I think it makes it a bit more spectacular, maybe not yet, because the AIBO were very, very good, and the teams have reached superb results so far. But I think the fact that the robot is humanoid, it's much more fun. It talks much more to people. It looks like, human football players. And I think that they will be able to, because the processing power is higher and we have more sensors, I think that in the end, the game could be much more interesting than with the AIBO. So, for instance, last year, the best teams started to make sidekicks to avoid opponents. And I think that this year, we'll see in Singapore, I think we will see Nows placing themselves on the field so that they can pass the ball from one to the other and try to skip an opponent and kick directly in the against the team. That's going to happen like that, I think. We are going to see interesting things.
You mentioned that walking was already difficult. I mean, how difficult is it to actually end up with a kick with a humanoid robot?
So for the RoboCup, for instance, the walk is very important. It has to be stable, because if you fall down, you lose time, and then you lose the ball. So you have to be quick, but to be stable, you have to find the right trade-off between, let's say, swiftness and stability. And I think as well that some of the teams have tried to replace our walk by their walk, because they've found that their walk would be quicker and more stable. But some of the teams have, since the last software version we have delivered, have said that they would probably get back to our own Aldebaran's walk, so that they can spend time on other areas that will be more efficient for the game, like, for instance, team game, not only one by one, but using the partners to score goals.
Last question on the future. How do you see a future development zone?
On Nao specifically?
Nao or your other bigger robots?
So I really think that there are two markets coming, but it's still a long way to go for both. The first market is this Nao companion at home, because you can do very, very nice things, including for the kids. For instance, we are working on a software that will allow you to write a story and to put some markers in the text so that the robot will be able to do some moves to explain, and to do as well explaining a story, but make moves, walk, rise, get down, do whatever he wants with possibly as well noises, which will make the story very funny for a kid. So this kind of thing is going to be very nice for the family, but it's still a lot of software to develop. And for the service robot, it's even more complicated. We need to bring real value to the end user. And it starts by complicated issues like security and safety for the owner and for the flat and the objects in the flat. And as well to be able to seize objects and manipulate objects. And if you look at what is presented today, for instance, in the conference, it's still a research field. So it will take time, but it will come. We are working for that.
Thanks, Luc, for your insight on the now, and okay. Thanks for being here with us on Robots.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Our next guest, Cédric Vaudel, tells us about the business of making humanoid robots.
Hi, Cédric, and welcome to Robots.
Hi, Amanda.
Could you please present yourself to our listeners?
Yes, so my name is Cédric Vaudel. I'm part of the Aldebaran Robotics team. I'm supervising in North America to promote NOW for American universities and high school.
Okay, so before I go into more complex questions, could you please tell me where the name NOW actually comes from?
Wow. it's not a big story, actually. We choose NOW because it's a mix between two words, new and now.
Okay, so it's not further etymological background. It's pretty simple,
actually. No, it's just simple to remember.
Sounds
in any kind of culture or anything. Yeah.
Okay. So what is actually the target public for NOW?
So for NOW, NOW is a research platform.
Right.
So you have to think about the computer in the 70s. It's absolutely the same story. NOW is not yet ready to be autonomous and to live in a house with a family. So for NOW, it's more like a platform for research and education. Many universities and private labs are choosing NOW to make their own research on motion on a humanoid robot for vision, automation, control, artificial intelligence, etc. to put their own algorithms into the platform and test it on a real robot.
Okay. I heard rumors that you are thinking of bringing it to the public. How can you comment on that?
Yeah, just a few ideas that, as I told you, NOW is not yet ready for that, but we're trying to improve the robots. And we are also working on that project with our community, because all the universities worldwide are working on NOW, and they are teaching to NOW new behaviors, new features, etc. So maybe in 2 years, 2 or 3 years, we'll be able to launch a product for the retail, the mass markets. It will, of course, not be the same kind of robot, because right now it's, as I told you, more research platform with many technologies inside. So, of course, it's expensive, and maybe too much expensive for the public. So that's why we always have to find a compromise between technologies and price regarding our whole market.
So the new NOW will be a whole new product?
Absolutely.
Okay. Can you comment on the market?
Which kind of market?
The academic market.
Oh, the academic market. Well, I would say that the academic market is very different regarding the area, the region. The American market is very different from the other market, like the Asian or European markets. American people are more focused, for example, on medical and healthcare. So that's why we have many projects which involve NOW on, for example, autism therapy, on project with elderly people, because as you can see NOW as a human shape, we're pretty good looking, and so universities are using NOW as a platform to interact with people. You can work with NOW on emotion, with the LED, on the motion, the way he walk, he dance, so you can easily interact with people, answer to questions with the set of modules provided with him. For example, the voice recognition, the human face recognition, all that stuff. And so it's a good way for researchers to create complete behaviors. So for example, when I'm talking about elderly people, NOW is an open platform. So you can create your own games, for example, on brain stimulation, and try to use with people and try to see if people are reacting quite easily with the robot, etc.
So for the moment, Aldebaran is based in France. Are you intending to go elsewhere to expand?
Yeah, so the headquarters are based in Paris, France. We are now 90 people with more than 65 engineers working in R&D and production departments. And we plan to launch two local sites, one in Shanghai in China, and the other one in the United States, absolutely, to be close to our market, yeah.
Okay, so, and what are the other business challenges that you face as a company?
Well, this is a big question. I would say that for now, the big step that we have to do is to improve our product, to be more robust. And our main objective right now is to make Nao the standard platform for humanoid robotics research, for education and for research. So, of course, on the other hand, we have to think about other platforms. So for now, we are involved in a European project to create in 2 years bigger robots, 1 meter 50 centimeters robots, to, more for as a companion for elderly people. And well, just be creative, you know. We are just at the beginning, at the start of a new revolution. And that's very hard for us because it doesn't exist yet, and we have to create to stimulate the market. So a big job.
Do you get feedback from the community?
Yes, of course. We're trying to create the community around Nao and create some kind of exchange platform to let our community exchange their own experience with Nao. And try to avoid them to reinvent the wheel and to share the experience, to share the development, to share the behaviors, to improve it and to be faster.
Okay, so final question. Where do you think the future of humanoid robots lies?
I would not say to replace a human, but to make our life easier.
Okay, thank you very much, Cédric, for joining us on Robots.
Thank you very much.
Okay, to wrap up, we thought you'd enjoy a little Star Wars story from Nao.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. The galaxy is living in dark times again. The dark forces are back, but a knight is coming to save the galaxy. Accompanied by his faithful friend, Nao 2D2. They fought the enemy with bravery. Finally, the enemy was defeated. And he settled again.
That's it for today's episode of Robots. For more information on our guests, come have a look at our website on www.robotspodcast.com.
Thanks for listening. Hope to see you in 2 weeks.
Meet Nao with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics.